You're tuned to The Record from KUOW Seattle. With David Hyde, I'm Steve Scherr.
Steve, you ever heard about that classic psychology study? It's called the marshmallow experiment.
No, is that where you heat up a marshmallow and you test a person's ability to discern whether they'll burn their mouth or not?
I think that's a s'more experiment. This is one where Stanford University researchers measured how good kids were at delaying gratification, basically rating for a reward that they really, really wanted. In this case, it's two marshmallows as opposed to just one. And what they found out is that the ability to wait is linked to better outcomes for kids later in life.
The ability to wait for marshmallows.
Well, marshmallows or other things. That patience is
patience is
to success in life.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, and so I was super interested in this, and I got a chance to talk to UW professor Liliana Lengua about her work that builds on that classic experiment. She runs a lab in the psych department at the University of Washington, and she's also looking at other factors like socioeconomic differences and stress and whether or not these things also play a role.
So she's looking at whether you delay gratification and who delays gratification.
Exactly. And I actually got a chance to visit her lab and got to try out one of the experiments.
Blue, red, green, blue, green, red, blue, red, blue.
What are you doing here?
So I'm trying to read the color of the type that words are printed in. So in other words, it's not the words themselves, it's the color of the type.
What does that tell you about you?
So the test is measuring something that she calls executive function. So this isn't the patient study, it's not the waiting. It basically means your ability to focus on a task. And she says that this ability to focus, as well as the ability to delay gratification, like in the marshmallow experiment, are two keys to success in life.
So we became really interested in how executive function and this other thing we talked about, delay of gratification, might be the same or different. So we really tried to spell that out with different tasks. So one of them has children reading color words, red, green, and blue, that are typed on a page, and then reading those same words that are typed in a color other than the word. So the word red might be typed in green. And the child's supposed to say the color the word is printed in, not the word that's there. Reading is automatic. So when you see the word red, you've already read it before you knew you read it. It's an automatic response. So they have to stop the automatic response of reading the word to produce the correct response of saying the color that is printed there. So we're seeing the attention focusing on what their task is and the inhibiting of a response. So that cognitive inhibition is one of the things we're measuring.
Break that down for us, cognitive inhibition. What's that mean?
It means being able to focus your attention on a relevant piece of information and taking your attention or being able to shift your attention away from irrelevant pieces of information. So in this case, we've taken reading, and the letters are usually the relevant information in a reading task, but we're making that irrelevant and asking the child to pay attention to the relevant information. In this case, is the color that the word is printed in. And we're asking them to suppress or stop an automatic response reading the word to produce the correct response, which is a what we would call a non-dominant response or less automatic response, saying the color.
So I'm a student, I'm a kid, I'm trying to learn stuff. Where's an example where executive function is going to help me?
I think about a kid's, like the first 20 minutes of most children's day in school, where they enter the classroom, they're supposed to have a routine that they follow where they're putting their things away, they're sitting down at their desk. Most classrooms have morning business where they pull out some paperwork or some sheet that they're doing every day. At the same time, other kids are bustling and hustling around. The teacher's answering questions. There's so much going on, and they're supposed to tune out that irrelevant information and focus in on the relevant information and complete the work that they're doing, keeping their energy and attention alert enough to know when the teacher is actually talking to them and giving them instructions to do something different than usual. It's this constant management of what's relevant, what's not, stopping yourself from doing something that would be seems automatic to produce something that's less automatic. The other example would be a child in a classroom who's really engaged in learning and the teacher's asking questions and they know the answer. But they're engaged, they're excited, they're energized, and they have to hold themselves from giving the answer, raise their hand, wait to be called on. And if they're not called on, suppress that disappointment, suppress that answer, but still keep up the energy to be engaged and interested in continuing to learn. So it's this really balancing act of engaging, disengaging, acting, holding back an action.
Mm-hmm. And these are going to be effective skills that you're going to have throughout your life. Again, can these things be taught?
Yeah, so there's lots of ways to build up executive function skills. And one of them is, as directly as possible, just practicing them with executive function kinds of tasks or delay tasks. People talk about building that self-regulation like a muscle. You can exercise it like a muscle. But most of us don't do that. And many of us have really good executive function without ever having done that kind of exercise of it.
What are some examples of exercises kids could do at home to improve their executive function?
People have done things like play games like red light, green light, which is a stopping game, and then really complicating it and turning it around where red is the go and green is the stop. So then you have to really stop and think about a change in the rule.
So here again, it's almost like your higher order brain is suppressing or in control as opposed to letting your reptilian part of your brain do what you would normally do in that situation.
Exactly.
Like Simon Says, red light, green light, those kind of games that
exactly.
we all played as kids. Wow.
Yeah.
So if you're born just being really terrible at Simon Says, what are your chances of improving or how much can a kid improve?
Yeah, I think that's the positive thing. I think there is a genetic component to this, but I think we, in our research, have shown that parents' behaviors towards their kids make a big difference. So a warm, nurturing relationship with the parent and the child helps nurture the child's emotional responses that actually can facilitate the development of the brain architecture around executive function. And when parents use consistency in setting limits, they have clear expectations and rules, and you know and children get to understand those rules and the consequences that go with them. That actually builds in that internal self-regulation.
Okay, so warmth,
way.
But also when the kid's going mom, 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 mom,
right.
mom, you got to teach them how to
not gratifying,
how to wait.
Yeah, not gratifying their instant whims at every at every moment, and also this thing that we call scaffolding, which is kind of is stepping in and stepping back. So making sure children have what they need to do whatever it is they're doing, whether it's a learning task or an emotionally difficult situation, but also giving them a lot of independence and autonomy to do it when they're independently, when they can, when they're being successful, to just let them independently be successful, but then stepping in just enough when you see them struggling. So we struggle with over-controlling or trying to do everything for our kids, and stepping back and letting them struggle a little bit is actually an effective way for them to learn self-regulation.
Because they have to be able to control their own impulses to move forward, it sounds mm-hmm. like. Liliana Lengua is a psychology professor at the University of Washington. We're talking about kids and impulse control and executive function and success in life. And I wanted to ask about the school environment and the fact that there are fewer opportunities for recess oftentimes than there used to be. Are things like that important in terms of giving kids the opportunity to learn better executive function?
Yeah, in many ways. One is just that play and physical exercise are really important make really important contributions to executive function, along with nutrition and sleep. So those really physical health related factors, sleep, nutrition, and physical activity and physical play help build executive function, just like they build our cognitive development in general. But then also the recess context allows very complex social interactions to occur, things that children have to navigate and figure out, how to share a ball, how to take turns, how to deal with the disappointment of not getting a turn, having the bell ring when it was your turn for kickball or whatever. Those are constant daily opportunities to practice and build self-regulation. And they're especially effective when there are adults around that then can help scaffold or buttress a child through those situations when they're having a hard time. But they represent some of the key complex opportunities to train and build that self-regulation muscle.
When you think about the larger policy picture here, you mentioned parents, we talked about schools. What's the big picture in terms of bringing our society forward and helping all kids have better impulse control, better executive function, if it can be learned?
Luckily, in the state of Washington, there's a great initiative called the Frontiers of Innovation that is working towards emphasizing children's development of executive function, and I'm really excited about that. But I think the real message is that it's a complex thing, and that we need to be thinking about both things that are happening in the home and things that are happening in the classroom. So it can be opportunities to practice executive function with games in the classroom or at home. But it's also really important to be thinking about that teacher-child relationship and the opportunity for teachers to help children navigate complex social situations, to help them scaffold their learning time so that children who are struggling with focusing and attention get a little extra support and scaffolding around that, but also thinking about the same things at home, that parents can have a really important impact on that. So I think the policy is just to be thinking about children's experiences broadly and creating the complex social experiences and academic and home experiences that will allow them to flourish.
Liliana Lengua, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's UW Professor Liliana Lengua talking about her work that studies kids and their ability to delay gratification and to focus, which has been linked to success in life. It's The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde with Steve Scherer.